Bibles, let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 9, verses 24 through 27. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 through 27. All right. The Bible says, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all?" That means giving it everything. "But one receiveth the prize. So run that you may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery," in other words, every man that wants to know everything about this occupation and this ministry and this living for the Lord, this truth, every man that strives for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now, they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we do it to obtain an incorruptible crown. Let the church say amen. Amen. "I therefore," Paul said, "I therefore so run, not as uncertainly." In other words, he's not just running in any certain direction. He knows where he's running. And then he said, "So fight I." I fight for it also as well. "Not as one that beateth the air." Everybody said amen. Let's give it another verse here. "But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection." I bring it under the control of the Holy Ghost, Paul is saying. "Lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." Amen. Hallelujah. You know, come to think of it, there will be a bunch of folks in heaven that got there by individuals that backslid. Have you thought about it? I know folks that were keen in the Word of God, keen in the truth. In fact, you know, there's always somebody, especially for young people, and I was a young person when I got in church, and there's always somebody in the church or somewhere in another church or wherever it may be, conferences that you see them, you know, and you say, "Man, I'd like to be like him," or "I would really like to be like her." And Buddy Hall was one of those individuals in my life. I loved his worship. I loved his praise. I loved everything that he loved about God and the way he expressed it. And Tina, you remember Buddy? Buddy died in an overdose of drugs with AIDS and a homosexual. But the influence he had on me as an apostolic still lives. So there'll be tons of people in heaven that were influenced to make it by people that lost their relationship with God. That's sad, isn't it? And that's what Paul was warning us about. He said, "Lest I show a bunch of other folks how to make it and I myself become a castaway." And so we don't want that to happen. So here's what we want to talk about this Bible study evening. We want to talk about the elements that should guide our Christian lives. The elements. And of course, we won't be able to talk of all of them, but we're going to talk about some of them. The elements that should guide our Christian lives. And so let's pray about it and ask the Lord to open our ears, our hearts, minds, understanding. Master, we call on the name of Jesus and we ask you, Lord, to help us at this urgent moment in our relationship with you. I pray that you would help each and every one of us, God, that are in pursuit of a relationship with you. Lord, that we do not take it lightly and that we do not take it frivolously, but we take it seriously in Jesus' name. And everyone shouted amen once again. God richly blesses your seed. Thank you all for being in the house of God. Hallelujah. These elements that I want to talk to you about are the elements that should govern our lives in our relationship with the Lord as a saint of God. God's given us a method of checks and balances to keep us in the truth. Now that we are born again, or saved, as they would say, our future success and salvation in the end hinges upon heeding God's spiritual and His biblical. Everybody shout biblical. Say it again. Say it once again. His biblical controls in our lives. Since no one can make us submit to Him, there's got to be a willingness and an obedience on our part for God's methods to be very effective. Unteachable, rebellious, stubborn, self-willed attitudes, they spell ultimate doom. Subjectiveness for both the minister and the child of God, the saints of God, is absolutely essential to our spiritual success. Can you say amen again? Praise God. And so we must be successful at this thing called living for God. And again, the Word of God has got to be paramount. It's got to be vital, and it must be important. We are living in a time where when God blesses individuals and comes to them, they want to manipulate it into things that causes self-grandizement. Honing in on a few people to show their stuff. And it's constant, like every day. But I'm just saying, we need to understand that if God has given us anything at all, He gave it to us to be humble. And we need to understand another thing the Word of God says, and that is this. And that is that a person's gift, whatever God gifts them, whatever He blesses them in, a person's gift that comes from God will make room for itself. You don't have to advertise it. I want this church to beware of anybody that will come to you and say, I'm a prophet. Read your Bible. There were people on missions in the Scripture that were great people of God that were sidetracked by individuals that approached them and said, I'm a prophet. How many of you know that because you've read it? And missed out on the will of God. And the individual, the self-proclaimed prophet, and the individual that was on a mission for God, both lost out with God. Amen. I read Esther yesterday. And in that book, I was kind of mesmerized about how God had His hand on that young lady. And she was a lot like Jesus in that she never told anybody. When she was such a blessing to the king that he wanted to make her his wife, she never even told him she was a Jew until she just had to. But there was a whole lot of risking her life. You see, we're all about sometimes people making us big stuff. But we're not all about risking our lives for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so we need to understand tonight that if we have been gifted, you do two things. Number one, you try your best to run from it. And if you can't run from it, number two, you treat it with humility and let the Lord be the one that lifts it up, exhorts it, and puts it out. Because if you don't, it will destroy you. Because we feel that we're a special package, and not one of us, myself very included, is not any more special than anybody else in this house. Right? So, elements that govern us. The most essential element that should guard us and teach us and guide us is the Word of God. The Word of God. Now, I want Landmark people to do something with me and establish this standard about yourself for the rest of your life. And that is this. Let the Word of God be true and everything else a lie. Let the Word of God be true and everything else a lie. Amen? My pastor used to say that there are people that will argue with a road sign and take the wrong way home. And I have experienced that there are people that will argue with the very Word of God and miss out on going home. Amen? This is the Word of truth. I give the Bible preeminence in my life. God would be unknown to us if it weren't for the Bible. Calvary would be unknown to us if it were, except for a few personal witnesses, had it not been for the Bible. And the Holy Ghost would only be known to a few if it wasn't for the Word of God. No wonder David declared, "For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name." Psalms 138, verse 2. God's word should be the final and very authority by which we judge our lives. Not just other people, but our lives as well. Amen? Amen. God's word should be the final authority to judge sermons. Just because it's a sermon doesn't mean it's truth. Just because it's a gospel song does not mean it's true. There's a recent song that came out and said, "The father looked at the son and said, 'Go die for my children.'" That is a lie. That is not true. God died for his children after he prepared himself a body through Jesus Christ. There was not another God sitting beside him. Jesus was not sitting beside him. He did not turn to another being and say, "Go die for the sins of my people." He alone is God, and he sits on the throne alone. Am I right? Praise God. And so, here we are. Nothing bears rule and authority above the Word of God. It's the lone standard by which everything else will be judged. Tradition pales. I don't care what tradition says. Tradition falls short before the truth of the Scripture. Make it the focal point of your life. The value of God's Word is exemplified in tons and tons of Scripture. Am I right? The Bible says all. Everybody shout all. All Scripture. In other words, all the Word of God is given by inspiration of God. And it is profitable. It will give you great gain if you will use the Word of God for doctrine, for reproof. Let the Word of God straighten you out. Let the Word of God be doctrine to you. Amen. It says, see, correction. Let the Word of God be your correction. Amen. And then D, instruction in righteousness. You know what righteousness is? Righteousness is doing things right and doing right things. There is no way you can know how to do the right thing without knowing the Word of God. Amen. God's Word is like rain and snow coming down. Gives bread to the eater and seed to the sower. Isaiah said that in chapter 55, verses 9 through 11. Amen. I'll never forget Roger Simmons giving me a call. And he's from Tennessee. Woke me up one morning. And he said, 1 year ago, I started studying the oneness of God. so I could have something. I know what I was talking about when I argued against it. And he said, then this sermon came by that I listened to about the three pennies. I preached that from behind this pulpit and have preached it nowhere else. And I talked about how you can't have $1 million without the first penny. Can't have it without the second penny. Can't have it without the third penny. And I said, people want to look at repentance and say, that's not important, but you can't make it to heaven without it. People want to look at baptism in Jesus' name and say, that's not important, but you can't make it to heaven without it. People want to look at receiving the Holy Ghost, speaking in that heavenly language as evidence, and say, that's not important, but you can't make it to heaven without it. Amen. The very things that you've been taught that are insignificant and not very important are the very things that you need to begin with to make heaven your home. Yes, there's a lot of other things, but those are the three pennies. Those are the three simple things that the world will not look at, that the world and its churches will not call upon you to do and admonish. But I'm telling you tonight, without repentance, baptism, and the Holy Ghost, without those three simple things, we can't make it. I made this true to our non-believer in Tennessee. And he said, I won't keep you much longer, preacher. He said, I just wanted you to know that's been a year ago and I'm headed for my local license with the United Pentecostal Church International. As Cooper would say, got him. We pretend to shoot at deer and Cooper says, got him. And so that is a good feeling when you know you've shared the truth and it sunk deep into somebody's heart. Hallelujah. God's Word. Let God's Word be a guiding force, amen, and a discipline in your life. Secondly, we need to be able to depend and rely, have trust and faith and honor in the ministry. Now, at this particular point, I'd rather someone else be up here talking about it, but there's no one else up here, and so let me do it with humility. But ministry, everybody has got to have a preacher. Not just a church with folks that give them just a little bit of attention, but they have got to have a preacher. The Bible admonishes every individual that they've got to have the fivefold ministry activated in their lives. And I'm going to go deeper and just simply tell you that you've got to have a pastor. You must have a pastor. God has given the minister of the church as one of those governing elements and to help us understand the sense or the meaning of His Word. That's found in Nehemiah chapter 8, verse number 8. From experience and the Bible, we understand the importance of the ministry having the oversight of the flock of God. Let's look at Acts chapter 20 and verse number 28. People that have the audacity to believe that they can make it to heaven from their living room chair, or that they can make it to heaven because they pray a little bit every day, that's not true, ladies and gentlemen. That is not true. If that were true, then the Bible is absolutely good for nothing. If that were true, this church is good for nothing. If that were true, my years of ministry and God's calling and His testing and tempering and the fire and the hail and the storms, the disease, the sickness and the healings, all of that has been done for naught. Amen. It would be easy and comfortable for us to believe that we're islands, we're individuals, we got something ain't nobody else got. But I'm telling you right now, there is no making it without a church. There's no making it without a preacher. There's no making it without a pastor. There's no making it without brothers and sisters. Take heed, therefore, Acts 20 and 28. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which He hath purchased with His own blood. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know how much you're aware of the responsibility that I have, but I am. And that is that I have got to govern a church that our God bled and died for. That's huge. That is absolutely huge. And you wonder why I preach with the force I have. You wonder why I preach with the intentions I have and with the anointing that He gives. Amen. There's no way that I could accomplish this by myself and on my own. But it is a call of Almighty God. I don't want a call on my life just to get to preach a little bit. I don't want the call of God on my life just to get to be in a pulpit every now and then. Amen. If I'm going to have the call of God, I want to go the whole nine yards. If I'm going to have a call of God, I want it all because I'm going to need it all. Praise God. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? We need the ministry. Anytime a local church gets out of harmony with God's plan and allows trustees or deacons or choir directors or whoever it may be, elders or anyone else to control that church, that local church is in for trouble. God's plan calls for the ministry to have this oversight, not as a dictatorial, tyrannical, but a God fearing apostolic leader dispensing spiritual food to the saints of God. Amen. Hallelujah. When we stop having revival, then you can question. When you stop feeling the Holy Ghost in this house, then you can question. When you stop seeing church growth, then you can question. Amen. You have my permission, because if all that happens, I'm going to have some questions myself. Where and what would our lives be like without the ministry? I have one. In fact, I have several in my life that I know that I could go to my office this very moment and call or text them, and they would be on call for me right now. It would do good. Now, I'm not on call to just talk. I wish I could have conversation, but even the clock itself, even time itself would not allow me to talk to everybody I pastor in one day. Amen. But if there is a need, and if there is trouble, and if there is sickness, and if there is anything that is causing confusion, or any manner of thing like that, then you know that I am just a call away. Amen. I'm very attainable. I'm very touchable. And I'm a very reachable pastor. And I hope that you appreciate that. Amen. What would our lives be without a man of God in our lives? Amen? This is not the sole protection of our lives. Don't you leave all the praying up to me. Don't you leave all the fasting up to me. Don't you leave all the Bible reading up to me. Amen? Don't you leave all the church going to me. And you just come like Easter or Christmas or some holiday and try to get me convinced that you're working for the Secret Service. Amen. We need it all. We need the fivefold ministry that we've already mentioned. In case you don't know what that is. Amen. We need the apostles. We need the prophets. We need the evangelists. We need the pastors. And we need the teachers. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. Can I give you just a short list? I want to help you with this ministry thing so we can continue to have it balanced out. Amen. I have a deep and a very grave responsibility to you as the saints of God or anyone else that calls this church their home. Amen. But did you know that you had a responsibility to the ministry? Let me go through this a few moments with you. Hebrews 13 and 7, it says, remember them that have the rule over you. Amen. Now, I didn't self-ordain myself your boss, but the Bible does say that I have rule. Amen. And that gives me access to you to correct and to teach and to show you and to help you. Hebrews 13 and 7. Number two, the Bible says, esteem them very highly in love. If you're going to love anybody, you need to love me. I'm liking this. Praise God. We're coming straight from the Word of God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 12 and 13, if you want to look at that and read that. Amen. 1 Thessalonians 5, 12, 13. Number 3, the Bible says, obey them that have the rule over us. Hebrews 13 and 7. As I said, there are men of God. They could call me tonight. Amen. One especially is, of course, you already know this. It's no secret. Brother Wayne Huntley is my pastor. He could call me tonight and say, the Lord has enlightened me about some things in your life, and I'm appointing you to a 3-day fast. And I would say, when do you want me to start, sir? And if he said, tomorrow morning, guess when I would begin? I wouldn't care if it was Christmas Day. I don't care if it's Easter morning. I'm not very prejudiced about boiled eggs anyway. But it wouldn't matter. What would matter to me is that someone would have the passion to pray for me to the point that God would speak to them about me and give me direction. Now, I'm not talking about any old Joe Blow that you don't know. I mentioned that earlier. Just as sure as there's prophets, there's false prophets, honey. Amen. You need people that have proven themselves. People that are stable. People that have been here for a while. People that you know. People that have gone through the fire and sacrifice. People that have repented. People that have been baptized in Jesus' name. People that are this full of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Hallelujah. And so, and then number 4 in 1 Timothy 5 and 17, I didn't say this, the Word of God did. We're to count them worthy of double honor. Amen. 1 Timothy 5, 17, the ministry is worthy of double honor. Number 5, the Bible said salute. That means greet with respect and greet with kindness them that have the rule over us, Hebrews 13:24, amen. And then number 6, 1 Timothy 5 and 18, we are not to muzzle them. Amen. You can't come telling them what should be preached and what should not be preached. I'll start another church somewhere in Lexington. In case you're wondering, praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. So that's the Word of God, right? Right. Amen. Now, the ministry's responsibility to you. Are you ready for this? Number 1, we are to feed the flock of God. That not just throw stuff out. It bothers me when every now and then I can understand some preacher getting up and he's got this deep thing impressed upon his heart and his spirit and he just throws it out, but day in and day out without going to the Word of God and then coming to straight to a pulpit and just throwing out whatever comes to his head. Amen. The Word of God says, feed my flock. Now, there's a ton of stuff that people can be fed. I want it to be the right thing on the right day and at the right time. And so in order for that to take place, there's got to be spiritual preparation. So if you'll receive it, I'll prepare for it when I give it to you. That's why I ask folks to do your very best to leave me alone before service. And what did I say? I said, if you don't want leftovers, stay out of the kitchen. I'm cooking. So they are to feed the flock of God, Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. Number 2, they're to reprove and rebuke with all long suffering. That means that we're going to come here from every nationality. We're going to come from every color and creed and every corner of God's creation. We're going to bring with that cultures. We're going to bring with that situations. Amen. For example, There are people that grew up in life and felt like you couldn't have a friend until you told that you cut everybody else down, cut their heads off, hated them, and shared that with that individual. And that's the only way you can make friends. Well, you got to understand something about the church. You can't make friends like that in the church because you will cross up everything the Word of God says we're supposed to do. Amen? That's why I don't believe in best friends. I know people get close to you, and probably in the back of your mind you're thinking, that's probably my best friend. But you don't have to vocalize it. You can vocalize that, and sure enough, somebody in the church is going to get jealous about it. Well, I thought I was your best friend. And there it goes. And so, hey, why don't we let everybody in every section be our best friend? Well, we're saying, I don't want them to be my best friend. I'm not their best friend. Oh, so you're in it for you. See, that's the stuff you brought with you. And that's the stuff I've got to have long suffering with. And I will, I promise you I will, until it begins to affect our little ones. And when I say our little ones, I'm not talking about just the shorties. I'm talking about these and these and these that have not been in this church very long. When it starts damaging them, then you're going to hear from me. Right? Jesus said, forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. New converts are going to heaven. People that just got in the church are going to go in the rapture. And they're going to go in the rapture not knowing a lot of stuff that you know. And some of the stuff you know, they don't need to know. Somebody say amen. Amen. We want to move forward. We don't want to look in the rearview mirror, try to drive forward. You're going to have a head-on collision. And both people are liable to be killed. And so lest we kill somebody, break the rearview mirror off, throw it away, and let's move forward. Does that make sense? Hallelujah. And so 2 Timothy 4:2. Number 3, the ministry is here to preach the word. 2 Timothy 4:1-5. Amen. I like this stuff coming from Timothy because Timothy was personally trained by Paul. Paul loved Timothy so much that he considered him his son. And so this is good stuff. Number 4, the ministry is to make disciples. The ministry is to baptize, to teach people to observe all things the Lord has commanded. Matthew 28:19. Number 5, the ministry is to command and teach what God's word declares. Not to make it optional, but the Bible says to command. Because we want obedience. Right? Amen. That's up to you as to whether you shop at Winn-Dixie or Food Lion. But when it comes to the word of God, there are no options. Right? Praise God. Number 6, we're to give direction for your lives as Paul did to the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians 5:11. Praise God. Both the man and his message is measured by the word of God. That's where we all come into unity because we are all, every one of us, subject to the Word of God. All the things presented in the study that I'm sharing with you tonight combine together to preserve the balance and the assurance and salvation to the believer. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, I'm going to give you basically one more point and we'll be done. But it could be one of the very most important points. And we're talking about the elements that need to guide our Christian lives. And so let's conclude it tonight. As I said earlier, there are many more. But we're talking about these particular points tonight. How about universal conviction? Universal conviction. Now there's universal conviction is a gigantic These are truths, ladies and gentlemen. And these are standards taught clearly in God's Word, and they must be adhered to by every believer. What the church name is on the sign, that has no relevance. Regardless of what the church name is, you are to teach the whole unadulterated Word of Almighty God. Amen. And so, these universal convictions are scriptural. The Holy Ghost wills them. Let me speak to the ladies for just a moment, because there's so much of the holiness issue that affects you and the outside, your adorning and your dressing and your appearance and all of that. Understand something, and that is this, that when the Word of God says this is what you're supposed to do, you don't have to feel anything. I know that there are those that say, and let me get by with this tonight because I am the shepherd and I'm able to feel the flock. I know who's here and who isn't. To the ministry team, don't just jump up here and start talking about standards anytime you feel it. Let me do that. But I know who's here. And so let me simply say, you don't have to feel it because it's already in the Word of God. I've seen people come in and adhere to the standards of the Word of God, and then several months later find out that they were what they felt they should do was actually in the Word of God. That's awesome. And then I've seen those that did not even have a clue as to what page we were on about standards of holiness and all of that. And then several months later, I would teach it. And then after I taught it, they would say, well, if God ever convicts me about it, then I'll do it. That's dangerous, because you're waiting for something personal from God that He already gave you from the Scripture, and you can't divide the Scripture from God. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word. You can't divide something personal from God and what the Scripture says to us. Both are words from God, and we need to do them and listen to them and be obedient to them. Amen. For the further success in our relationship with God. It's a truth. It is a profound truth that the longer you live for God, the more responsible you become to the Word of God. I said the longer you live for God. I believe an individual that would repent tonight, and if I baptize them in Jesus' name, and they came up speaking in tongues as the Holy Ghost came, I believe that if the rapture took place, they'd go to heaven wet. Without some of them even knowing why they just got that done. But the longer you're in this, the more responsible you are for this. That's called growth. That's called maturity. Am I right? Praise God. And so that is universal convictions. All of us should have the same convictions when it comes to the Word of God. All of us should walk the same when it comes to the Word of God. Look the same when it comes to the Word of God. Talk the same when it comes to the Word of God. There's no big me's and little bitty you's out there. And there's no big you's out there and little bitty me's up here. Amen. We are all answerable and will stand in judgment to the Word of God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. And so, can I give you one more? Will you have mercy on me? I want to talk to you for a moment, and this is pretty important. And our brethren, that's right, one another. Amen. Our brethren. These are these can be guidelines that will help us in our relationship with God. Listen, God's Word is great, and the ministry is awesome, and the Holy Ghost, all of this, this all serves as tremendous guidelines for us. But alongside them, God places our brethren as a governing element in our lives. And that does not mean you go to this individual and you are their personal guru for living for God. That's not what this is saying. Follow me here tonight. Somewhat of a paradoxical to the casual observer, yet God doesn't want us to do anything that would cause our brother in Jesus Christ to stumble or to be offended. That's what that is saying. That's how your brethren can help you. Amen. Hallelujah. I remember Brother Harrison a long time ago thumped his cigarettes out of his truck window because he saw a sister coming down the road, and he waved at her while he was smoking. He said, "No, I can't do this. That's offensive. I don't want to offend my brethren." Threw him out the window and hasn't touched another one since. That is letting your brethren be a guideline to help you make heaven your home. Not you to them, but them to you. Amen. You want people to respect you. You want people to warm up to you. You want people to like you, honor you, appreciate you. Give them stuff that they can honor. Give them stuff that they can appreciate. Give them stuff that makes them want to warm up to you. Amen. Hallelujah. Not just a give me, give me, give me, but something that can give, give, give out, give out. Amen. Let your brethren know. They don't want to be with you, something's up. They don't want to be around you, something's up. Nobody's told them anything. Nobody's influencing them in any way except you. Praise God. Amen. If you're getting on their nerves, something is up. Something's got to change. Something's got to be rearranged. Maybe we just need to go to an old-fashioned humbling where we just have to get up and feel like one more time, I am nothing and everybody else is something and Jesus is everything. We try so hard to be so special, and that's going to tear down our relationships, and it's going to break everything and put us on an island where we can be defeated. So, our brethren, how are my brethren feeling about me? What are they saying about me? How does it feel? What's their demeanor? Amen. And I'm not asking you to let the devil dictate that to you. Let the Word of God dictate that to you. You don't want to be offensive to them in any way. You don't want to hurt in any way. They want to be able to rely upon you. Amen. If you're hanging out with this one, it's not because you want to discuss that one. If you're hanging out with that one, it's not because you want to discuss this one. But if you're hanging with this one, I want to promote you. I want to say you're a great individual. I want to see you do great things. I love you. I appreciate you. And then when you're with that one, I want to see you accomplish great things. I love you. I appreciate you. I'm telling you, if the same thing is for everybody and it's from the Word of God, you're going to do all right. You'll have more friends than that redneck said you can shake a stick at. Now, I don't know why people want to shake sticks at people, but there you go. You heard it? Yeah. Praise God. And so, God doesn't want us to do anything that would cause our brother to fail or fall. Therefore, we should be willing to resist our appetites. There's the key. Resist our carnal appetites from years past and activities to keep others from being offended. We had a man that quit smoking because of that. Now, I don't know if you ever smoked or not. I did. That was hard stuff. Right? But hey, God can take it. God can deal with it. If it's important to you that He is not offended, your brethren are not offended, right? You say, it's none of their business. Oh, yes, it is. I am my brother's keeper. I am supposed to do everything I can to encourage him. Maybe that's where we might miss it every now and then. I am supposed to do everything I can to bless them, help them, and give them hope. You say, well, I'm spending all of that helping everybody else. What about me? Well, God can take care of you. Someone's going to come along when you're consistent enough and you're persistent enough and you really make it a part of your life. Someone's going to come along and do the same things for you. I hope that's what I'm doing tonight. Praise God. And so we should be willing to restrict our appetites and to keep others from being offended. God is displeased when we ignore other people's feelings and place in the kingdom of God. Running roughshod through life, doing whatever we want to do, buying whatever we want to buy, and going wherever we want to go, anytime we want to go. Flagrant disregard for others, and that's displeasing to God. That is so displeasing to God. Amen. There are people in our church that if they are here in any most any given service, I'm surprised. There are people in our church that if they are not here in any given service, I'm surprised. Do you understand the difference? Do you understand the difference? Amen. There's just some things that are so vitally important that it means heaven or hell that are just not very important to individuals. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Pastor Marshburn, I'm not saying God will give you the biggest deer you've ever killed because you come to church every Sunday during deer season. I could care less whether he does that or not. I'd rather be in church than deer hunting. Hallelujah. Don't make me be like some of those pastors that I got to get all my preaching that I have to get in and get it in the summertime because sure enough, wintertime's coming and they're going to be gone. That is not healthy. That is not healthy. Now, I understand vacations and things of that nature, taking a little time off. But hey, a little time every weekend. Somebody needs your worship in this house. Somebody needs to hear you praying back there. Somebody needs to see your stability. Somebody needs to see the fact that you just don't quit. Somebody needs to see your consistency. Somebody needs to see how you can love so deep even though you have been scarred. Wow. Somebody needs to see that so that they can develop that in their lives as well. Right? None of us appear back in the church 10, 12, 20, 30 years later because we've never had our feelings hurt or because we've never had anything wrongfully done to us. But the reason we're right back in church 20 and 30 and 40 years later, still coming, still going, is because things like that just don't matter. But God matters the most. Pleasing Him matters the most, and seeing my brethren make it to heaven matters the most. Praise God. All right. Three considerations that have got to be given to others in the church. This is me giving to others. This is you giving to others. Turn to your neighbor and say, this is me giving to you. Anything we do that creates any one of our these following three things should be abstained from for our brother's sake. Right? Hallelujah. Amen. We don't want to cause, number one, we don't want to cause our brother to stumble. And when they see inconsistency in us, well, then they can say, well, I can be inconsistent in that area too. I've seen people miss so much church that they didn't even know what Landmark was up to and stand right in that prayer room and judge people because they weren't praying long enough before they came into service. I want to stop and say, look, how do you know how much they've been praying before service? You haven't even been here. But they don't see that. All they see is others' offenses. Why don't you stay here and be in the church and show them what it means to be consistent? They may tag up with you, and you may be the greatest blessing that they've ever had. But because you've been absent, look how they're failing. Number two, whatever causes our brother to be offended, we are to abstain from. Don't offend your brother. Number three, whatever causes our brother to be made weak. Abstain from it. In Jesus' name. Let's stand. Praise God. Have you got time for one more? Another Tuesday? Praise God. Hallelujah. There's just some of those Bible studies that I just want you, I want to get it all in. Reason being is because they're so vital. They're so instructive. And they tell us so much. And they help us to do the right things. Amen. And this is one of those Bible studies. I have been blessed because of this. And I hope you have too. Why don't you bow your heads, close your eyes, and let me pray for you. Master, tonight, I pray in the name of the Lord that you would give me the divine ability to place a mantle of anointing upon each head here tonight. Touch every individual that hears my voice with the scepter of anointing. And bless them, Lord Jesus, with these character traits. Bless them, Lord Jesus, with these honorable characteristics. I pray it right now, Lord, that they would be the governing elements that will guide our lives in the future, so that we could abstain from evil and lead people to the good. Because we understand, Lord, that in the process of leading others to you, that we are also leading ourselves. Master, have your way in our lives. Have your way in our hearts. Have your way in our souls. Lead us, guide us, direct us, correct us, discipline us, teach us. Give us knowledge, wisdom, understanding. And everyone shouted amen. God richly bless you tonight. Thank you so much for being in the house of God.